Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What if this is as good as it gets?
We all have these terrible stories to get over.
Life has thrown us a few surprises, I'll give you that.
I mean, maybe there's still hope.
My first reaction was that of being totally overwhelmed.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, everyone goes through tough times every now and then, but when good people seem to suffer horrible circumstances, it's not uncommon for them to wonder why these things are happening to them. When tragedy strikes, it's important to distinguish between feelings and facts. And while God does allow us to suffer every so often, it is essential for us to realize that He is not the source of the tragedy that's causing the suffering. Having that knowledge can make it easier to find hope in the midst of crisis. Well, during the next half hour, Stan Jantz joins me in studio for a conversation on this most important topic. Finding hope when life doesn't seem fair will be our theme right here on Homeward. So stay with us. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. It's great to have you along here at the studios here at the campus of APU. It's summer school now. The fall session will be starting up very soon. And if you know somebody who's interested in pursuing a graduate degree, maybe that might be you, or you're thinking about going back to school and finishing up your undergrad, I highly recommend Azusa Pacific University, and you can learn more about their organizational leadership degree completion program at APU.edu. What happens when circumstances in your life make you feel like you're going to lose hope because life doesn't seem fair? Well, good news. Author Stan Jantz is with us in the studio today, and he'll be talking with Dr. Jim Burns about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. Here's part one of today's program right now. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Stan Jantz is with us. We're talking about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. Hey, that probably relates to you. I know that at times it relates to me. Why do bad things happen to some pretty good people? And I would imagine that that may be in your case as well. Stan is a best-selling author. In fact, Stan and Bruce Bickle have over 3 million copies and counting of their popular Bruce and Stan's Guide to books. And today we're talking about a book of his called God is in the Hard Stuff. And I want to tell you that I have read this book and it really helped me. It was very, very good. Lots of great quotes in it as well, but very thought-provoking. Stan, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be with you.
Such a joy to get to spend some time with you. It's funny, we're talking today about an issue. I mean, we're talking about suffering and hard times, and all of us go through that. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a pastor who said, if I talk on suffering, I get an amazing response. Mm-hmm. And I said, why is that? He said, because everybody's suffering at one time or another. In your book, you talk about dealing with suffering, loss, and grief, and you have a great quote, and it says, complete success alienates a man from his fellows, but suffering makes kinsmen of us all. Mm. Talk about that.
Well, it's true, and you know, we can be envious of other people's success, and it often separates us, puts us into classes. But suffering is the great equalizer, because it doesn't matter where you are economically, it doesn't matter where you live, even spiritually, the good and the bad, as we would call them, you know, seem to suffer equally. And in fact, that's one of the great questions that Psalmist David asked is, you know, why do the righteous suffer? I thought, you know, we signed up for this deal, God, right. You're the Almighty God, we, you know, are your children. Why do we suffer just like those who don't call on you? And I think that's a question that continues to haunt people, and I think it's a good question.
Well, I think a lot of times people ask the question, you know, does God cause suffering, or does he allow suffering? What do you think on that?
Well, it is, and I don't know that there's an answer for that. I think we can clearly say this, God does allow it, because if we look at him as, and here's a big churchy word, the sovereign God of the universe, meaning he's kind of in charge of everything. He created it, he keeps it going, and that goes to our very lives. So he does. There's nothing that happens that he does not allow. But as far as causing the suffering, there doesn't seem to be indications in Scripture that that's the case. He can use and can discipline us and can use those things that occur. He certainly, gets our attention. I think C.S. Lewis, that famous quote that pain is God's megaphone. You know, when things are going well, isn't it it certainly is the case with me that things are going well and life is great. And I tend to not rely on God quite so much, but I can recall those times in my life when I was going through some very difficult times, or my wife and I were going through some stresses together, and how you just draw near to God in a way that's, when you're done, it's like, that was a sweet time. It was difficult, but I remember that intimate relationship that I didn't have, you know, prior to that. And so it's something that we value. I think that's why James, in his book, said, consider it joy when you encounter trials of many kinds. That's a weird verse to me. What do you mean, consider it joy? And I think he's referring to that when you are drawn into that intimacy with God, that suffering can bring about, that it is a joy that only those of us who are his children can experience.
Tragedies that affect most of us are the ones that oftentimes happen close to home. I mean, there are tsunamis, there are hurricanes. Our hearts break with things like that. But it seems like when, you know, a child turns away from the faith, when a child goes down the wrong way, oftentimes that's when we experience the most suffering. What do you say to a parent who's going through the process? Maybe they have a child who's kind of a prodigal.
You know, I think we've all experienced that. If you have kids, and if you have teenage kids especially, if you haven't experienced that kind of stress, you know, with a child maybe turning away temporarily even. And I'm sure, you know, all of us know families, if not ourselves, who are dealing with long-term turning away. And when is this child going to come back? And I think it's one of those things where to provide a pet answer and say, hey, God's just teaching you through this, and, you know, just hang in there, that your prodigal child is going to return to you. I don't know that those are really the most comforting words that we can give either to each other or to someone else that we know. But I think that God's faithfulness is revealed. And there's a great illustration that we all know. It's the story of the prodigal son. And here's what I really love about that, and it's not original to me. Actually, Henry Nouwen did a great book on this, you know, called The Return of the
Prodigal Son.
That's
right, I love that book. Yeah.
And here's the deal. The prodigal son, when he's gone through all of it, he's squandered the family fortune, he's lived with the pigs, he decides, I've got to go back, but he's so nervous about what is it that, you know, what's the reception going to be like? How am I going to be treated? And the scripture says that the father was looking for him. Now, that does that mean that he just happened on that particular day, you know, see, I'm going to go out now and look for him? No, the indication is he was looking every single day. And if the father and the prodigal son is a reflection of our Heavenly Father, he is looking for us every single day to return to him. And to me, that gives me great hope, because it shows us that we are never out of his care. And as a parent, if you're dealing with a child who's wandered and is a prodigal, you know, God is looking every single day, and we as parents shouldn't give up hope that child will return to us.
You have a quote in your book that I liked. You said, knowing that God won't give up on you keeps you from giving up on others. And
right.
The Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And prodigal son, I have this, I'm not an artist by any means. In fact, I do stick figures poorly. I have this vision of the dad checking every day and looking a long way, you know, looking out at the road. He's walking outside the town, perhaps. And then when he sees his son, I just have this vision of him lifting up his gown, because he was probably wearing a gown, and you know, you don't run well in your gown. I'm sure he's not wearing Nike sneakers, and just lifting up that gown, maybe up to his knees, which was really not what men did in that day, and just running toward him. And I just think that's such a beautiful picture of what God does for you and for me. And yet, we've got to have that kind of a steadfastness when a child does turn away.
Right. And I think, too, there's an aspect of it is that if we've been offended by a family member, that there's an attitude of forgiveness. You know, I'm just kind of learning about, I mean, not learning about forgiveness, but deep into how important that is and how easy it is for us to withhold our forgiveness until we feel the other person has righted the wrong that they've done. And the scripture never talks about that. You have to wait till they, you know, ask first. I mean, we are to give that forgiveness. And there's a thing that happens to us that is important. You know, it releases us from perhaps further anger and from further bitterness that can really be a problem.
And sometimes I think we have to look at that we are arrogant if we're not forgiving them, because God has sure forgiven us.
Yeah, or we're going to teach them some kind of lesson, you know, by having this attitude of sternness. But again, the problem is, without that release, there's anger. And then the thing that I think is even more insidious is the bitterness that can create. And that the only person that harms is us. So it's an important, I agree completely with that there's an arrogance about that when we fail to forgive.
Not only forgiveness, but you have a section on this thanking God. Is it possible to thank God when we hurt?
Well, I hesitate to say this, but I think we almost don't have an option. Now, that's not to say that if we are angry toward God, because it works that way too. You know, we can be angry toward our fellow family members or friends or whatever that we know, but there can be that anger toward God. And what's I think interesting about that is that God doesn't get offended by that. you know, he doesn't, you know, oh, you're angry at me, you're bitter towards me, ooh, shame on you. I mean, he invites that. I mean, he invites our questions, our doubts right. in this regard. But at some point, I think we do have to come around to that idea of, and it really comes to understanding God's character and realizing, you said earlier, he's allowing this. I'm in his care. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he'll never allow a trial or a temptation, those words can be interchangeable in that particular text, greater than you can handle, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. And he will give you that strength or the ability to get through that. Now, it doesn't say that he's going to prevent it. He just says he won't give you more than you can handle. So I sometimes think that suffering, difficulties, actually strengthen our faith. It is something that it's almost like in an athletic endeavor. You have to go through, you know, no pain, no gain. What? And it's that pain that increases our capacity, increases our faith capacity. And I think to thank God, maybe not for what's happening right now, but what he is doing in my life right. to mold me and create in me a greater appreciation for his character, a greater depth of that intimacy that we talked about. And I think so you're really almost thanking in advance for what I anticipate will be the result of this.
I had a great insight once where I was reading the scripture, in everything you do, give thanks. And that was a struggle until I realized the word was in and not for. I don't have to right. thank God for my mom's death right. in cancer, but in that, she's healed. She's with God now. She brought our family together through some of this. You know, so there is a reason to be thankful in as opposed to for.
Well, that's good insight. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're talking about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. Stan Jantz is with us. He and Bruce Bickle have written a number of outstanding books. Very, very helpful. Very, very practical. The book we're discussing today, God is in the Hard Stuff. And, you know, it's easy when we choose to subject ourselves to something that might be a little painful, but it's for our own good. When that situation kind of lands in our lap, it's a lot more difficult to deal with, and we're having a good conversation about what to do when that happens. More from Jim and Stan in just a moment.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Man, I love this SUV.
It is beautiful, Bill. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you enjoy it.
Well, there's a certain sense of pride driving to work, you know, cruising through the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. You know, that reminds me, look up ahead in the Thompson's driveway. Isn't that...
the exact same SUV I just got?
Yeah.
Don't these people have an original thought in their heads?
Actually, it looks like they got the XLT Ultra model.
Oh, well, that's just great. All I need is Bob Thompson rubbing this one in my face, too.
Oh, well.
As parents, too often we feel the pressure to be the best and to have the best. And many times it's just so we can feel a little better about ourselves. However, the Bible makes it clear that God is more concerned with what's in your heart than your attempts to be perfect. For a free copy of my tip sheet called 7 Tips for Helping Your Kids Discover Their Strengths and Weaknesses, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair, and that is basically how life goes. We have Stan Jantz with us today. He's written a great book, God is in the Hard Stuff. It's a great gift book. Before the break, we were talking about being thankful. We were also talking about children who are prodigals. Let's bring up the M word, marriage.
Mm. Oh,
you have a quote that I laughed when I read it. Marriage isn't a battle that someone is supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems like so much of marriage, you know, we're kind of battling each other and trying to win it. What do you say to that?
Well, isn't that the way the culture portrays it? I mean, any TV show or movie, it's always that. It's the battle. It's the conflict, you know, between. And certainly when you're with one person, you know, for most of the time in your life, sure. you know, personality conflicts, whatever. But yeah, we've got to see it in a different light. And I think part of it is to understand, how do you love the other person? And this is, you've taught on this, so you know, you could be the expert in, are the expert in this, but it's loving and wanting what's best for that person, mm-hmm. not what's best for me.
Yeah.
And so the battle is set up when I'm trying to get, you know, ownership of my territory and who I am. And I think it's releasing that and being able to say, you know what, it's not about me. It's about us. It's yeah. about you. It's about how Christ can work in our marriage together. So, but you're right. There's so much, the, you know, the divorce rate, I don't know if that's still true, but it seems like we keep hearing this within Christian families sure. is not that much different than it is no. among seculars. So what makes us different? Well, it seems like we're falling back to the default, which is that it's a battle. It's an ownership thing.
Again, I got another laugh out of this. You know, a good marriage won't happen unless you get a divorce from yourself.
Right, right.
Because, you know, when a sinner marries another sinner and they have sinnerlings, it's going to get messy, you know, so to speak.
Sinnerlings?
Right. That's what I can call my kids often. But, you know, it just makes life right. messy. Part of this is just being faithful to him. As you said, it's not about us, it's about him.
Right.
And when we get that perspective, it seems to fall in place better, even in the midst of hard times. God is in those hard times. It's really the theme of what we're talking about.
And don't you think, Jim, I mean, we have to be in community. I mean, we have just ourselves, but if we only just have ourselves and we're not exposed to the greater community, the family of God, where we can see other marriages at work, and maybe yeah. if you're a young couple listening, that you have a mentor right. couple, perhaps. I'm really big on that. And yeah. we did that when we were first married. Within the first 5-6 years, we would find other couples, my wife and I, that we admired in certain areas. Maybe somebody was really gifted in hospitality. Somebody else, you know, they were just, boy, they had a business that we really admired how they were doing that. Or they, boy, we liked their kids. And we would have them over for dinner. And here we are in our 20s, inviting these couples in their 40s and 50s and saying, tell us the things you've learned right. in your 20, 30 years of marriage, whatever. And I just encourage, you know, younger couples that are listening, just, you know, find those role models. It may be your parents, but it may not be your parents. It may be that your parents have set up exactly the opposite, you know, right. type of relationship that you right. want. And I think that's where in the community of the family of God, God gives us those models that we can look for. Ultimately, you know, we're together in this, husband right. and wife. But I think that's something we found to be very valuable.
We've talked about the M word. Now we're going to talk mm-hmm. about the P word, parent.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fascinating because a lot of the people who listen to Homeward are kind of caught in between. They've mm-hmm. got their own kids and they're dealing with that, and it's the busyness and pace of life. But they also have parents who are struggling, or they're still the children of some parents.
Right. We're the sandwich generation.
Exactly, the sandwich generation. Yeah. Back at the holidays, I was thinking, it is such a pleasure to have my dad there. He's such a positive person. He's getting a little older and struggling physically a bit. But that's not the case for everybody. Sometimes right. it gets real messy because you're trying to honor parents that are not doing life right themselves. What kind of advice do you give to the person who's struggling with
well,
that?
Well,
you call it the hinge generation.
Yeah, right. And it's the idea, too, when parents can become difficult. Sometimes we look to the kids as being, but the parents can be. And I think it's something to look at. And again, there's a scripture verse that we've all read. It's you know, one of the Ten Commandments, but Paul emphasizes it in Ephesians. And he says, you know, children, honor your parents. And this is the one commandment that comes with a promise, so that it may go well with you. And, you know, as I talk to other couples that are dealing with difficulties, and, you know, there's a way to honor a parent without necessarily obeying them. I mean, as younger children, we're taught to obey, but there's that point where you say, well, your advice really isn't working for me, but I can honor you in this. And that may take different forms for different people. But what I have found is even couples that deal with, or an individual that deals with a very, very difficult parent, when you begin to show that honor, it's like it kind of opens them up, and the whatever bitterness or anger that was there starts to be released on them. It's almost like a form of forgiveness when you kind of honor them.
Right.
And not saying, I'm going to be the big person in this relationship, but just showing them respect and honor can do a lot to soften those hard edges that sometimes you feel with other people.
Here we are having a conversation about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. And one of the themes is a statement that you made early in your book. You said, easy times make us spiritually indifferent, but hard times make us spiritually dependent. Mm. Seems like that's exactly where God wants us. Talk about that.
Well, as referred to earlier, I mean, there's been times on a personal level when I've dealt with some very, very difficult things. We had a thing in our business some years ago that was, we were on the brink, we could have lost it. And it was one of those things that we just had, my wife and I just literally got on our knees and just said, well, if we lose it, we lose it. At least we have each other, we have our kids, our health, you know, that kind of typical thing. But what we really were faced with was this an intimacy that we both found with God that we hadn't experienced before. And as I said, God was gracious, and we came out of that, and it, you know, restored what we had. But we looked back on that and realizing that those difficult times brought us into such a close relationship with the Lord. And what it did, it's the old marriage triangle. As you each draw closer to God, you draw closer to each other. And it was a wonderful time. Now, does that mean we say, okay, can't wait for the next hard thing to come so we can grow closer? But I think what it tells us is that when those things occur, the difficulty, the disease, the conflict, the, you know, all the things that we can worry about, the financial difficulties, is that God can use those as an occasion to teach us what it really feels to be in an intimate, closer relationship. And I think, again, it was referred to in James, that that's the joy that comes in. There's another aspect to this that I have, that Peter talks about. And of course, Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote to the suffering church that was being persecuted. And it was, you know, so many of the things that he talks about deal with that. But one thing that's always struck me is he talks about the fact that the trials that you go through help you identify with Christ. Let's, you know, if God didn't spare his own son from suffering and from difficulty and, you know, relationship conflicts that, that he experienced, how, you know, who are we to think that he's going to spare us from that? But when we go through that in a small way, we identify with Christ. Now, Peter goes on to say, if you're suffering because you've blown it, you've made some stupid decisions, you've killed somebody or whatever, that's a whole different deal, you know. And sometimes we'll make bad decisions, get ourselves into a fix, and then wonder, God, why is this happening to me? And I think God's saying, well, bad decisions. You know, you did some things that probably, you know, you shouldn't have. But sometimes when we're just, the suffering comes, we don't know why. We don't have, we're like Job. We're just sitting there wondering what in the world happened. And I love, there's a great, in fact, we quote this in the book. We have two chapters on Job, actually. And I, at the end of the book, the book of Job, not our book, but Job has gone through all of this, and of course he's been restored, and but the suffering and his friends that came and gave him, you know, advice that we would give others, but really wasn't very good advice. You know, well, Job, must be you that you're causing this. And, you know, finally Job realized, and I love this, Job 42:5, he says to the Lord, I had heard about you before, meaning before all of these events that occurred, the suffering that occurred. I had heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Mm. And isn't that the case that we can think about? Yeah, we've heard about God. We know, we sing songs about him, we pray to him. But when we go through that valley and, you know, he's there, now we have truly seen him and know who he is personally. And I think that's one of the great benefits. God doesn't always tell us why it happens. In fact, he may never tell us why, but he will tell us, I will get you through this. And through this, we're going to be closer than we were before.
That is a great comment. Thank you so much for being with us. Can you come back next time?
Would love to.
Okay. We'll look forward to it. That's the end of part one of our two-part conversation with author Stan Jantz here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme, Finding Hope When Life Doesn't Seem Fair. Stan is the co-author of a book called God Is in the Hard Stuff, and it's a book he co-authored with his longtime writing partner, Bruce Bickle. Stan brings a Christian publishing background to the equation, and Bruce is an attorney, and together they're just a riot. They're a lot of fun to listen to, but they've taken on some very, very deep subjects and made them a lot easier to understand. And Jim, that's good for us as parents, especially as we're dealing with kids. I mean, what's the number one lament of the child when something doesn't go their way? Is they'll say, that's not fair. And yet at the same time, this gives us some hope here.
That's the phrase of almost every kid. I mean, it's the phrase of all of us because we are so, at times, self-centered. I mean,
right. We're
trying to get better, but that's the deal. Life Isn't Fair is a lesson kids have to learn. For example, this last week I was up at the school where my daughter Heidi goes.
Right.
She was actually burnt out of her room.
Hmm.
You know, the school, they just didn't do a good job at all. The way they handled it, she didn't have a place to come back. You know, it wasn't fair, and I had to teach her that it isn't fair. And I was thinking, I had to do some conversation here with God and myself, saying, you know, why out of, you know, 19,000 people at this school, why would 7 girls get displaced and then not be taken care of? Mm-hmm. Heidi needed to learn that. We had an experience there where it was burnt in the fire, her card, her meal card. And so they said, well, that's going to be $8 to replace it. And I said to Heidi, I can handle that. So I went into the place and I said, you know, you charged her $8, but it was burnt in the fire.
Right.
And they said, that's our policy. And I literally started laughing, but I also realized that, you know, I have a Christian witness to these people too.
Sure.
And so I started, you know, laughing hilariously and then went, you're serious. Well, on the way out, she said, well, Dad, why didn't you get mad? I said, you know what, Heidi, that's not fair. You got a raw deal. And I may write to them, I may deal with this because you do have to deal with it. But you know what? Life's not fair because there's going to be times in your life when it's just not going to work. And so again, what you've got to do is take an experience like that, whatever the experience that our listeners are thinking about in their own mind, and then teach our kids that simple fact. Life is not fair. God doesn't promise that he'll take away all of our problems. What he does promise is that he'll walk with us through those problems.
Amen.
And through those issues, and that makes a big difference.
Amen. Amen to that. And we appreciate the fact that Stan Jantz has given us a lot to think about. We appreciate the opportunities that we have here at the Homeward broadcast and the full ministry of Homeward to be a source of encouragement. That's what this seems to be in such short supply these days, is encouragement. You can read books that Jim Burns has written. I think about 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family or Faith Conversations for Families. The book, the devotional book, Closer, which helps married couples couples get some devotional time. What about the seminars that we offer through Homeward, understanding your teenager and building a legacy of faith generation to generation? There's so much to offer here at Homeward, and we encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities. Go to homeward.com, browse around a little bit, and take a look at the different ministry opportunities that you can take advantage of through Homeward at homeward.com.
Why, thank you, Roger, for bringing that up, because I think a lot of our listeners forget about all the other great stuff that Homeward does. And
Amen.
I'm proud to say that, you know, I think we're making a dent. And we do also thank people for remembering to be financial partners with us.
Yes.
This is how we do it. We do it for the radio, but also for all the other good stuff that we can offer people. We need financial partners, not just people who buy books. Please buy books. That's a great thing. But we're looking for donors and partners and people who have the same passion we have to help families make a difference. And your gift, even today, can make a difference as you contact us. Well, be sure to join me again here next time when I'll continue my discussion with Stan Jantz on the topic of finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. It's going to be a most inspiring conversation. Be sure to join us. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.